And we'll talk about the legend in the Bible of Joseph. So many things we can learn from Joseph and his life. All right, so Genesis chapter 50, we're going to jump right into it, and verse number 17. So shall ye say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin. For they did unto thee evil, and now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spoke unto him. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face. And they said, behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, fear not. And this scripture, this passage in the Bible, this phrase, really all Christians could really learn a lot from. We honestly could just take these couple of words and talk about them for a couple of hours in the Bible, or tonight, and talk about what they mean in the Bible. For am I in the place of God? Think about that. For am I in the place of God? But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day. So save much people alive. Now therefore, fear ye not. I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. In Scripture, there's probably no greater type of the Lord Jesus Christ than Joseph. No greater example. The life of Joseph speaks to believers in a wide variety of walks of life, because wherever he was always found to be faithful. Now, I'm blessed to be raised in a Christian home. Pastor Holmes and I were just talking how homes like mine and homes like his are not the norm. That's sad to say, but it really is true. Where you were raised in home, where you've got sets of grandparents, or you know, my parents did, but I mean in-laws and the kids' grandparents, who are both saved. Sets of grandparents who both want to be in their lives. That's kind of, unfortunately, becoming more of a rarity. The more I talk to people and the more I get out, the more I realize that's not the norm. Many people have such broken families, and many people have such problems. I haven't seen or talking to or didn't know for whatever variety of reasons. And Joseph's family really was not your a good example of a Christian family. And we'll look at that tonight very quickly. If you're going to take notes, we're going to talk about, number one, Joseph was faithful as a son. Joseph was faithful as a son. I told you many stories about my daddy. My daddy was a highway patrolman for 10 years. My daddy was a pastor for nearly 20 years. He's been in the ministry for over, 40 years, 50 years. He'll celebrate his 78th birthday this June the 2nd. And this morning, he got up and drove and preached at a local church. I think he told me it was, 45 times in 2019, he was away on a Sunday preaching at churches. My dad is trying to be faithful to God. So I watched that example. Many of you know Pastor Lewis, of course, 44 years at this church, just a faithful servant and just faithful, watching Mrs. Lewis just be faithful and others. And I have such a great example of that. And now I am trying my best to follow in their footsteps. I try my best to be that faithful son that the Bible calls me to be. Not always easy, but I encourage my boys and I encourage other boys, even on the ball team, be that faithful son. Be that boy, that teenager who's faithful to mom and dad. Now think about this. It all started with Jacob and Rachel, Joseph's parents. It was his parents that Joseph began his preparation and training that ultimately allowed him to save both his family and his people. As my boys get older, I realize how important it is to train them. And the last two Saturdays, I've been gone both days and one at the tournaments, one for varsity and one for junior high in the conference we're in. And so all day last Saturday, I was at a tournament and didn't get home till very late. But Travis hang out with me the whole day. We had a great time. And then we spent literally hours just talking and watching basketball. And I try to give them little tidbits, little things to think about. Hey, maybe watch this ball player or look at his attitude or kind of watch how he's acting. And give him little things to think about and little nuggets. And then yesterday, we got up and Lucas and I went down and spent all day at the tournament. And I had the privilege, like I did the week before, to spend time helping out, whether announcing games or last night, cleaning toilets, and that's what I did the week before, to help out the conference and just to be a blessing and to help with, whatever it was, taking out the trash or just going Facebook Live or announcing games or running the clock. And you talk about pressure, running the clock during a game. Because if you mess up, everybody's there to tell you you mess up. You know, not starting the clock in time or putting the wrong points in. And I didn't know what I was doing. Bill's like, man, I got to use the restroom. Do the clock. And I'm like, okay. And my training was like, this is a point, this is a point, here's the on-off button, there's the buzzer. I'm like, all right. And I sat down there and I'm trying to figure it out. And you don't think basketball's that fast until you're trying to do clock. And I'm like, okay, which one's guest? Which one's home? And so I just do what I do all the time. I talk to myself. So I took Lucas and he was there. And I was trying to talk to Lucas all throughout the day and give him little pointers and little nuggets. And we were talking through some problems he's going through. And as I'm in the driver's seat and I'm talking to Lucas, my mind goes back 35 years plus of my dad in the driver's seat and me in the passenger seat and my daddy talking to me and just trying to listen to what he has to say. And grandma and grandma, and I don't care how old you are, and I don't care what you're doing in life. I don't care if you have kids or no kids. I don't care if they're nieces or nephews. Take times to give little nuggets to your kids. Talk to your kids. Don't just shrug your shoulders and say, oh, I don't know, pray about it. Dig into the scripture so you can give them reasons why they should do what they do. And give them ideas from the Bible. That's where we get. You know, beloved, we shouldn't turn to Facebook or Twitter or Instagram to get what we need. We need to get it from the Bible. And get it from the Bible. So know what you believe and why you believe it. Someone wrote this. Walk a little planner, Daddy. Set a little boy so frail. I'm following in your footsteps and I don't want to fail. Sometimes your steps are very plain. Sometimes they are hard to see. So walk a little plainer, Daddy, for you are leading me. I know that once you walked this way many years ago, and what you did along the way, I'd really like to know. For sometimes when I am tempted, I don't know what to do. So walk a little plainer, Daddy, for I really am following you. Someday when I'm grown up, you are like I want to be, then I will have a little boy who will want to follow me. And I would want to lead him right and help him so to be true. So walk a little plainer, Daddy, for we must follow you. You know, beloved, it is so important to be that example. Joseph had an example in his dad. Think about this. He was faithful as the son, and he was loved by his father. Genesis 37, verse 3. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. It is well known that Joseph was his father's favorite, but it's imperative for believers today to know that God not only loves the world as a whole, but he loves us individually. God wants to do special things for each and every one of us. Joseph was loved by his earthly father, and we're loved by our heavenly father too. I talked about junior church kids today, and I brought up several kids, and I told them, I said, look how we're different. And I pulled up my sleeve, and I said, look how we're different. I pulled a couple of kids up, and I said, look, your hair is blonde, and mine is kind of black. Well, getting more gray, but black. And I said, you know, we're different. And I said, you know, here's, we know, I'm a boy and you're a girl. And we talked about, I said, we're different. I said, but when God sees us, He doesn't see any of that. According to the book of Acts, there's only one type of human race. Just one. Mankind, that's it. We all have the same blood. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you're from. If you get cut, we all bleed the same red. That's it. And that's the way God wants it. And so we get this dividing in the world and dividing in news media. And that's all of the devil. All of it is. Beloved, God loves you. Joseph was faithful to his dad. He tried to be faithful as a son. But here's the part that I really don't understand. I'll be real honest with you. He was hated by his brothers. Can I tell you, there's some people in life I don't like. Can I get a witness? There's some folks in Christian love, and I mean this in Christian love, I would like to beat the love of Jesus into. In love, of course. But I don't know that I hate anybody. I'm seriously, I really don't, that I don't think I really have hatred in my heart towards anybody. But according to Genesis 37:4, and when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. Could you imagine the turmoil in that household? Joseph and his 10 older brothers at the time, how there was such hatred that they couldn't even talk to one another. Could you imagine what difficulties there was there in that family? How painful it would be. And as I read this story and then I see what they did to Joseph, I thought to myself, truly, there's no hurt like family hurt. There really isn't. Your own flesh and blood, you hate. I can't figure that out. My mom and dad, and we have a wonderful relationship. My sister and I have a wonderful relationship. And I know that not everybody can do that. And I know that there's different situations, and I understand that. But I just can't imagine hating my own family. I just can't imagine that. And they hated Joseph so much. They hated him so bad, they wanted to kill him. It's one thing to not like someone. It's another thing to maybe even have hatred towards them. But now you want to kill them? That's what jealousy does. Jealousy was their problem. It's many problems that today. They couldn't even speak unto him nice. How is that possible? Do you ever get so bitter in your heart that even the thought about someone else turns you to mean, hateful words? That's what can happen when we become jealous. We become unfocused on what God wants us to do. I'm sorry, the pinched nerve in my neck makes my hand itch uncontrollably. I'm coming into money. Isn't that the wise tale? Whew! Man, it's digging, it's driving me crazy. So I'll try to ignore it. Now, this is another one we need to really think about. Okay? So he's hated by his brothers. He was a faithful son. He was faithful to his parents. And this is the one that I've often thought to myself, what was everybody thinking? Genesis 37:14. And he, Joseph's father Israel, said unto him, go, I pray thee, see whether it be well with thy brothers and well with the flocks, and bring me word again. So he sent him out of the vale of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. Now that was quite a journey. He did that. One of the great lessons of Joseph's life was that he obeyed his father even when the command could have been comfortable, could have been enjoyable. His father sent him to his brothers. And of course, we already knew they hated him. But Joseph obeyed. Here's my question. Why did his daddy send Joseph when he knew that his brothers hated him? You ever thought about that? I mean, surely there was a servant that could have went. Surely he could have sent someone else. Why would his dad send Joseph in to see his brothers, knowing his brothers hate him? And not just, we're not just talking, you know, jump in the old car and run over to the town. We're talking a quite a journey by himself. I mean, unless you're completely blind, wouldn't you have to know there's turmoil in your own home? Wouldn't you have to know the brothers were fighting? Wouldn't you have to know that? Now, this is nothing, this is not Bible, this is Wyrickism, okay? I've often wondered if the dad wanted the kids to live peaceably. I wonder if his heart, he wanted them to get along. I wonder if his heart, he thought, well, maybe Joseph can go and maybe they'll talk to him. Maybe they can work it out. You know, sometimes there's things in the Bible, just maybe just to make you think, make you wonder. But I will say this. The way we act does affect others. The way we do things does affect others. So Joseph, do you really think Joseph wanted to go see how his brothers were? Class, yes or no? Class, yes or no? Nice and loud. No, of course not. They didn't want to go see his brothers. Brothers hated him. You ever be around someone that doesn't really like you? A number of years ago, I worked at a place where because I was a Christian and because of other circumstances, I wasn't always welcome. You ever walk into a room of 40 to 50 people and realize that a lot of them don't really want you there? Talk about uncomfortable. You ever been there? I've been there. You're kind of walking in, looking for someone, someplace to sit down. And you can't sit down because you don't, no one really wants you at their table. And you're like, oh, what am I going to do here? And then you sit down and the table's uncomfortable and you're trying to make conversation with people that don't really want to talk to you. You ever had those conversations before? Back then, there was no iPhone, so you couldn't just stare at the phone acting like you were doing something else. You had to kind of sit there and stare at one another. And I wonder if that's what Joseph was thinking of himself. You know, I'm going to go in and I'm going to go to this field and check out my brothers and they don't really want to talk to me. But Joseph was obedient. Joseph was obedient. You see, the Christian life is not always about what I do want to do. The Christian life, a lot of times, and that's a life lesson, is we do what God wants us to do, whether we want to do it or not. It's immaterial. My daddy used to tell me all the time. I was always crabbing about stuff, you know, kind of like we do here. And I'd say, you know, Dad, I don't want to take up trash. My dad would say, guess what, son? You're going to do it anyways, because life isn't about what you want to do. We used to sit there and say, okay, I am going to, Dad, we're going to the grocery store. I hated going to the mall with my mother. Men, can I get a witness? My mom would go shopping. We'd be there 2 hours. That was just at the first store. So we'd go there, the first store, she'd be looking around. She'd be looking at racks of clothing that weren't even her size. And I'm like, Mom, well, you never know. Maybe they put the wrong outfit in there. And so, you know, we'd walk around. And my dad and I, we'd go out. We'd try to walk around and try to look for something to do. We'd walk the whole mall. We'd look at every store. We'd come back 10 minutes later. You know, we're done. My mom's still looking around. No place to sit down. I used to sit on the floor. You ever seen some of the floors, those places? And you're sitting there. And she's like, okay, I'm going to try some clothes on. Oh, boy. There's no place to sit down. Then you got to sit there and wait for them to come out, parade around. What do you think? Fellas, what's always your answer? They ask you, how's it look? What's the answer, fellas? Fine. They haven't even looked. I'm like, it looks fine. Lynn always asked me, how's your hair look? I'm like, it looks fine. You always tell me that. I'm like, well, because it always looks what, Ronnie? Fine. Don't look at me that way, guys. It's the truth. I'm like, your hair always looks fine. Looks nice. So you're walking around. I'm like, Dad, I want to be here. Son, let me tell you something. There's going to be a lot of things in life you don't want to do. And this is one of them. And I'm like, Lord, could you give a rapture? Could you get us out of here? Something? I'm about to talk to myself, why don't they have recliners with televisions? I mean, wouldn't that make sense, guys? Have about four or five lazy boys, three or four plasma TVs, some snacks. We'd be there all day. Go ahead, try on more clothes. Do whatever you want. No, we got to stand there, leaning on the rack, waiting, holding the purse over your arm, waiting around. Those all the other knuckleheads, we're all looking at one another. Talking, doing stuff you don't want to do. You know, handing out gospel tracts, I don't always want to hand out gospel tracts. I really don't. But you know what? It's the right thing to do. I don't always want to witness to people. I don't always want to go door knocking. I am 47 years old. That's when you went, oh, David, you don't look 47. I don't always want to go door knocking. My stomach is in knots every time I go door knocking, every time. But why do I go door knocking? Class, because it's the right thing to do. I don't always want to do some of those things, but it's the right thing to do. I don't always want to discipline my children. I hate disciplining my children. I hate it. Without a doubt, I would probably rather do anything else to do that. But why do I do it? Because it's the right thing to do. There's times I have to deal with situations. I don't want to deal with them. I don't want to do it. I just want to put it in a neat little box and stick it in the closet with all the other junk. But sometimes you've got to do it. Why? Because it's the right thing to do. Be faithful, obedient to His call. How about He was faithful as a servant? Let's get into this. We've got a lot to get through. So Joseph's brothers wanted to get rid of him. So we know that he was sold into slavery. We know that. We know that one thing went to another. But no matter what happened, because he was faithful, Joseph always did his job to the best of his ability. Who's the greatest servant of all? Well, Jesus, of course. Mark 10:45, it was said about our Savior that He came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life a ransom, which He did. And everywhere Joseph went, he was willing to serve. His willingness to serve brought him into leadership and also an opportunity. And the very important note that God raises up and God puts down is what? He was faithful. He was faithful. He was faithful. Everywhere Joseph went, he was faithful. Everywhere he went. Now, I challenged the radio listeners this week, for all four people who listen. I said, I want you to do something this week. And I've tried to do it. I haven't told any family about it. But I'm trying to pray about little things. Seriously. Pray about little things. Pray about where I should go for lunch. I'm being serious. Even pray about what I should do right away first thing in the morning. What should I do about it? I'm done trying to pray about even if, who should go with me to the ball game. I said, Lord, who should go with me? Boys are kind of going back and forth. I want to make them. And I'm trying to pray about little things. And the reason I'm trying to do that is because I'm catching myself only praying about the big things after I can't fix them. And I thought, if I can train myself to start praying about all the small things, when everything else comes up, it'll be naturally what I'm already doing. And so I can constantly find myself praying about everything. I'm trying, now Lynette, close your ears. I'm trying to say the word yes to things I don't want to do. And the reason why I'm doing that is I'm trying to train myself so when God asks me to do something I don't really want to do, I'll tell Him yes. Because if I only do the things I want to do, I might miss a blessing. I might miss something where God can really use my life or maybe use my kids' life. Honestly, if I only did the things I want to do, I wouldn't coach. I really wouldn't. Now, I like to coach. I've told you before, it's not natural to me. Yesterday, I'm not trying to whine. I spent all day there yesterday, the day before. Someone said, David, you have no kids on the varsity team. Why are you doing it? Well, I do like to help. But number one, I'm hoping that when my boys get varsity, someone will do it for them. So maybe I can do it for someone else. You know, if we all had that philosophy, stuff would get done all the time. All the time. I said, you know what? Somebody, they needed to, afterwards, we get all done. And the ICSO has, I think, 16 teams in it now. No one gets paid. It's all volunteer. And so we got to use a beautiful gymnasium, and they donated to us. Well, a small donation. It wasn't much, really. I think like $100 a day, which is very cheap. Most gymnasiums are $100 an hour. So I'll tell you what a blessing that was. So we'd have to clean up. And there's tons of stuff to do. And I thought to myself, you know, I told myself and I told Bill, I want to be a servant. Whatever you want me to do, we'll do. So afterwards, we have to clean up. This was last weekend. I said, what can we do? His response, the bathroom is cleaned. So it was 11 o'clock at night. I've been up since 5 and I don't really get a lot of sleep. You know, the physical problems I'm having. And I didn't really feel like it. So what did I do? I'm not trying to be the Dave Wyrick show. I'm just telling you. I'm trying to practice what I preach. I went in, grabbed the toilet brush, and I cleaned the toilets. 11 o'clock at what? Well, David, why did you do that? Because there wasn't a line full of people volunteering to do it. That's why. It just needed done. If I didn't do it, someone else is going to have to. We told that church we would keep it, and we'd leave it in better condition than when we got there. So we tried our best to do that. Now, a couple of people, one lady, she's just a sweet lady and mom, and she says, you know what, I'll get a list of people who will help out. And one particular organization had all kinds of people, though, helping to clean. And we got out of there last night in decent time. And we got home last night about 11 o'clock, Travis and I did. And we were cleaning toilets and sweeping, and all these people were helping. Why? Just trying to be a servant. Just trying to be a servant. I told you before, remember? And I don't think it was me, but I said, you know, the auditorium's going to need a good cleaning because of the beautiful work they did. And of course, you're doing, you know, construction works. It's going to be messy. And so what happened? I come in. I don't remember. It was one of the days. And there were ladies everywhere cleaning. It's beautiful. No one getting paid. People just helping out. It was wonderful. I go outside. And Darrell was there, and a bunch of guys. I can't remember everybody. I know Mr. Watts was there and others. What were they doing? Just being servants. Just volunteering the time, helping out. How beautiful that was. And I thought to myself, I walked from here out, and everywhere I looked, people were just being servants. I thought, that is just awesome. How great is that? And all the time, I don't mean to embarrass Darrell, but I'll embarrass him anyways. Because he knows how much he loves for me to do this. All over time, I look out and I see the retention pond out by the radio. And for the longest time, it was a train wreck. Now it is all trimmed down and stone lay everywhere. It looks so nice. Darrell was coming to me and saying, hey, you know, I think we could do something with this. And it looks so nice. And what a testimony it is to all the neighbors. When they look back at it, doesn't look ratty and it doesn't look messed up. Because I believe this is the kingdom. I really believe that. We're worshiping God. And I believe the place should look nice. You ever go on vacation and you go to a church and you ask them, hey, why don't you mow the parking lot? You know, you ever seen that? They got weeds everywhere. And you go in, there's stains all over the carpet. And they got like, you know, old Tupperware containers in the corner from the church shindig 3 weeks ago. And you walked in, the trash cans are overflowing, the toilets are a mess. I thought to myself, why would an unsaved person want to come to this? I praise God, harvest is not that way. Why? Because we have a bunch of servants that just want to help. That blesses my soul. So, of course, we know the story. Joseph is in a Potiphar's house, person who bought him, and you know, through a series of events, and he's in charge of the house. Now, I'm not sure about you. Being in charge of a house is probably not on my top list. But he was so faithful. What did he do? He put him in charge of his house. Wasn't even Egyptian. Some Israelite slave. Why? Joseph was a faithful servant. Of course, we know Potiphar's wife lied about him. Joseph gets thrown in prison. Now, that's not the place I want to be. And we're not talking, as Brother Joe May says, yeah, Dave, you know, people get in jail, they get three hots and a cot. That's not how jail was in Egypt. But Joseph is faithful. What happened? They put him in charge of the prison. Why? He's faithful. Now, I'm not sure about you, but I speak for me. If I got sold into slavery, and I got put in some foreign country, and I got thrown in jail, I probably wouldn't be the most faithful guy. But what did Joseph do? He was faithful. Do you see, as we learn life lessons, every single one of these legends all have the same thing. They're faithful. Just do what I'm supposed to do all of the time. And whether you're Guy Tooley, or whether you're Robert Reinberger, or the world's greatest secretary, Tammy Messer, just be faithful. Just be faithful. Just be faithful. I torture Tammy unmercifully. I'm always throwing her out of the bus, last second, doing things. And Tammy never gets mad. She'll, yeah, I can do that for you. Hey, can I get this address? Would you mind getting this for me? She's not the radio secretary. She's not my secretary. But there's some things she's really good at that I'm not. And Tammy's, she never, well, not to my face anyways, she never gets mad at me. I'm just kidding, Tammy. She just helps out. That's such a blessing to me. I told you before about Leanne Brown. Boy, what a blessing Mrs. Brown is to me. She is such a godsend with the radio. And she helps out all of the time. That is such a blessing to me. And I appreciate them just being faithful. So Joseph, through a series of events, is faithful. Series of events. And he keeps getting kicked in the teeth. And he keeps just being faithful. Thrown into slavery, thrown into the pit, Potiphar's house, rises up, lied upon, thrown in prison, kicked down, rises up, is in prison for years. Just being faithful. I know, church member, sometimes you do work and no one says thank you. Can I tell you, just be faithful anyways. I know someone's probably not going to write you a thank you card. Someone's probably not going to pat you on the back. You know the best thing you can do? Just be faithful. Whether you're handing out visitors' cards, whether you're a greeter, whether you're an usher, whether you're the whatever, just be faithful. I've told Dan, my coworker, I said, Dan, you want to be a blessing in Pastor Holmes? Be faithful. When Pastor Holmes asked you to do something, I said, to the best of your ability, do it. Just be faithful. When Pastor asks you to do such and such, be faithful. I said, and try to even do it before he asks you to. Try to just be faithful. Just do things. And whether you're a worker at Whirlpool, or whether you, whatever you do, Be faithful at it. Be the best worker you can be. I know when I worked at McDonald's many years ago. I tried my best. I really did. To be a faithful worker. I tried not to be the one goofing around. We were goofing around. We were kids. But when they needed the bathroom cleaned, seriously, I said, yeah, I'll clean it. Sure. Trying to be faithful. We used to have to mow the lawn for the owner down there. I said, yeah, I'll do that. Push mow, like acres and acres. I don't know what I was thinking. I said, yeah, I'll do that. Me get paid. It wasn't free. You know, I think I got $3.50 an hour is what I made. I started out at $3.35. I got a 15-cent raise, man. I thought I was all that and a bag of chips. For years I had the little piece of paper Bill Appas gave me for a raise. I'll never forget that. No matter what you do, Joseph was lied about. He was mistreated. I mean, do you like to be lied about? But what did Joseph do? He's faithful. Here's some Bible verse to tuck away. Romans 8:35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? 2 Timothy 3:12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. John 16:33, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Oftentimes, all that it takes to stop people from serving God is for others to lie about them, others to gossip about them, others to run them down. But not Joseph. After being marooned in prison, Joseph remained faithful. He got out of prison. And now he's second in command of all Egypt. Why? Because he was faithful. Now this is what's crazy. Joseph literally saved the lives of millions of people. Because of the dreams, remember? They put all the food aside. What if Joseph had gotten a bad attitude in prison? What would have happened? What if Joseph would have got a bad attitude? I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. If my sister, who I love dearly, would have threw me in a pit, I probably wouldn't be very happy with her. I mean, she used to torture me when I was a child. Remember the old phones you used to hang on the wall, I'm talking about? And you had the long, you know, 94-foot cord, you know? We talked to our boyfriends and girlfriends, our girlfriends and boyfriends, my girlfriend. Okay, anyways. But you weren't allowed to go to your room. We didn't have phones in the room anyways. So you had to stay in the same room as your parents. But you would, like, take the cord and wrap it as far away as you can, go to the kitchen and hide under the kitchen table. Some of you didn't do that? Okay. And then my dad, get out of there. I get out of there. Yell at you. So where was I going with that? Oh, yeah. So my sister, I tried to walk. As soon as my parents left, my sister is 4 years older than me. She would act like the phone is ringing. True story. And she'd go, ring, what, the phone's ringing. She's like, oh, well, who could that be? And she'd walk over and pick up the receiver. And she's like, oh, hello. Oh, hi, God. Oh, you want me to tease David today? Well, I can do that for you. And she'd hang up the phone and then just tease me unmercifully. And then she always timed it about 20 minutes before my parents got home. And then she started being real nice to me, so I wouldn't tell my parents what happened. Yeah, if my sister threw me in a pit, I probably wouldn't be very nice to her. But we know, of course, the story in Genesis 41. And Pharaoh said to his servants, can we find such a one as this, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? Now, think about that. This is an unsaved man talking about Joseph in an ungodly country. Pharaoh said to his servants, can we find such a one? What's he say about Joseph? Spirit of God. He knew something was different. I wonder, could that be said of David? If I was thrown in a pit, if I was accused in Potiphar's house, if I was thrown in prison, if I was in Egypt, if the head cheese would look at me and say, there's something different about this guy. He says and he lives what he preaches. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God has showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled, and only the throne will I be greater than thou. In other words, you're it, Joseph. It's second in command. But I'm not even going to worry about it. I'm going to put you in charge. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I've set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it on Joseph's hand and arrayed him in vesture and fine linens and put him gold chain about his neck. Remember, God's ways are not our ways. We can't always figure out why God does what he does. And you'll be much happier in life if you spend less time questioning God and more time saying, God, just give me grace to understand. Because I'm telling you, you won't be able to always figure it out. So now we know he's sovereign. He's in charge of everything. And we see that his brothers come to him. And we don't have time to get into all the series of events and all the things that happened and all the stuff that was going on. But Joseph now is in a position of authority. And his brothers come before him. And I picture much like this. You know, he's up above them. He's in that throne, on that throne. And he's looking down at his brothers. And he recognizes them. And I don't know what the sign would have been. I'm sure they had something set up because people from foreign lands were always coming in. And I'm sure there was all kinds of guards there. And all Joseph would have had to do is, and they could have been killed immediately. And the terror on their face when Joseph revealed who he is. And the brothers are saying to one another, and they go back and they're remembering for the last, 20 years of how Joseph screamed in the pit. Did we not hear his cries? And they live with that over all those years. And what does Joseph do? Once again, we find he's faithful. What a beautiful picture. And he forgives them. And you see, David, now think about that. Joseph's just minding his own business. And all of a sudden, his brothers come walking in. I wonder how he processed that so quickly and forgave him so quickly. Beloved, you're missing the story. That's not when he forgave them. He forgave them years ago. Years ago. He had already had said, I'm going to put that away. And what a beautiful thing happened. Now think about this. And I don't know why it didn't hit me to just when I was reviewing this lesson. He says, I'm not only going to take care of you. I'm also going to take care of your little ones, your kids. I thought, man, I always looked at them as brothers before. They weren't just brothers. They were daddies. And Joseph's faithfulness not only saved all of Israel, it got real close to home. It would be his nephews and his nieces. He saved them too. By all rights, Joseph could have just slaughtered all of them. And honestly, who could blame him? But Joseph, no, I'm going to be faithful. Can I tell you, friends, I don't know what you're going through tonight. But the best freedom you'll ever have is giving forgiveness to people who don't deserve it. It's the most freeing feeling in the world. And forgiving people. I'm wondering tonight, what would have it been if Joseph hadn't forgiven his brothers? What would have happened? Now, right away, the devil's already putting in mind, yeah, but this person doesn't deserve forgiveness. And this person's done this, and this person's done this. I'm not saying consequences can go away, because there always are consequences for things. I understand that. But in your heart, you can forgive them. You can let that go. What a picture it is to the world when they see us forgiving other people. Ephesians 4:32 says, "And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Genesis 50 verse 20 says, "But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as of this day, to save much people alive." And the scripture doesn't necessarily say it, but I wonder if Joseph fell on his knees and said, "God, thank you for not allowing me to be better. Thank you for taking that away from me. Thank you, Lord, for allowing me to have that forgiving spirit. Thank you, Lord, that I got to see my brothers again. Thank you. Thank you that I got to see that family again. Thank you. Thank you." You know, our family is not as much like others. We have family problems, probably like you do. And I've got some nephews right now that I don't know why, I really honestly don't, will not talk to me. And it hurts me like you wouldn't believe. And if I allow my flesh to get in me, I think about all the money and all the times Lynette and I, and we didn't have any money, tried our best to help them and tried our best to reach out to them. And my flesh, I can get wound up and I'm like, you ingrateful, blah, blah, blah. But what does that help? What does that do? What does that really do for my Christian walk in my life? It doesn't help me a bit. Now, it doesn't mean we have to keep sending money, but it does mean I pray someday they will answer. And I'm going to try my best to hug them and say, I love you. It's so good to see you and to see their kids and their family. I'm urging you to do the same. When we realized that God had put Joseph in position to save his family, his people, and Joseph decided that he would accept this responsibility with passion and fervent diligence, I'll ask you in closing, are you ready to accept what God has given you and to do it faithfully above all? God has a plan for us. God has a place for us. Lynette, would you come up and just play anything at all on the piano? As I read my concluding statement, I'll let Jerry take it off the radio. Faithfulness is one word that would describe Joseph. And without a doubt, the word faithfulness can be said of Joseph. In every situation in which he was plunged, thrown, or placed, Joseph was completely faithful. He was dedicated to his cause. He was dedicated to his testimony. He was dedicated to the testimony of God. David, why, how dedicated are you? Church member, how dedicated are you? What will it take to stop you from serving God? What will it take to stop you from coming to church? What will it take to stop you from witnessing to friends? What will it take? What will it take? Whatever situation is in your life, God has not placed it there by accident. It is there for a reason. Don't be afraid to step out in faith, to embrace it, and ask God to help you through it. Don't be afraid to take on that challenge. Let the truth of God's word change who you are. Don't be afraid to stand up for Christ. You may say, David, I'm older now, and I can't do it anymore. I'm here to tell you, you can do it. You can do it. You can stand up. If you haven't stand up before, do it now. Be faithful. If you remember, for 4 weeks now, we looked at Caleb, mountain climbing. We looked at Barnabas, the encourager. We looked at John, the beloved. And now Joseph, living like Jesus. Every single Bible character had faithfulness in their lives. All of them. Can you have that faithfulness tonight? Father, we love you. Thank you for loving us.